open our Bibles. I'll go back into 2 Peter, into the second chapter. So again, 2 Peter, second chapter. And last week, brothers and sisters, we began to venture into the eight characteristics or teachings of false prophets or false teachers. And I guess really this is a warning pamphlet, if we will. And we need to be warned. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. We know that the Word of God is very clear, that he's out to kill, steal, and to destroy. Now, thank God he can't keep his children, the Lord's children, out of heaven. We're signed, sealed, and delivered. Praise be to God. But we are fighting the good fight of faith, brothers and sisters, and I want to garner every reward that he has for me. All of those foreordained good works that I should walk in, I want to walk in every one of them. I want to give him the glory. I want to give him the honor by his grace. Ultimately, by the grace of God, I want to win him. I want Christ to be my prize by the grace of God. I want him to be my bridegroom. So in that, brothers and sisters, this is this warning pamphlet that he's giving us to beware of truly these wolves. These are wolves. Word of God tells us that, and they are in sheep's clothing, and they're about us today. And we got through the first three of them last week, and we'll just go over those very quickly. The first one was damnable heresies. Those are destructive choices, spewing from whether it's pulpits, whether it's, as we're starting to see, from talk show hosts. Beware, it's everywhere. It comes in subtly. Let me tell you something, that enemy's on the job in every which way he can. So it's out there. Second one was pernicious ways. That's utter destructive ways of immorality, immoral things. The third one was empty words that were motivated by greed. And then we went through the fourth through sixth verse, and we're reminded there that their ways do not go unpunished. And I was thinking how wonderful that is. These people, these Jews, they were really concerned with this. Remember how back in 1 Peter, they were concerned when the Lord was going to judge those ones that were causing them to suffer so much. So there must have really been something with this group of people. They really wanted to see a payback. And God was telling them all the time, you know what, just be still, know that I'm God. Vengeance is mine, I'm going to repay, saith the Lord. Okay, so we need to really understand that. And even in our daily lives, in those instances, we know that God will deal with those hearts. And we're going to be encouraged to really pray for those in this. You're going to be maybe amazed. One of the examples that we have, a wonderful testimony, and not even of humans, of doing good unto them that might despitefully use you. So it's a precious thing. The all-knowing God is fully aware of what we need. And he knows that we need encouragement, that we need salve, and he gives us this glorious comfort in his all-sufficient grace and keeping. And he is the God of all hope, brothers and sisters. And in that mind, let's go ahead and start reading from verse 7 of chapter 2. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So he delivered just Lot, who is troubled with the filthy behavior of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, the righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul, that means troubled his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to that I say amen, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, so sweetly here, he's reminding us of his faithfulness. Even though a life, brothers and sisters, may build nothing but wood, hay, and stubble, he will not utterly burn. Even though, brothers and sisters, we do not abide faithful, he is forever faithful. Amen? Amen to each and every one of us. If you don't know the Lord as Savior here tonight, let me tell you something. He will be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother to you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You accept him as Savior and you can never be separated from his love. What wonderful comfort. And as you grow into that, and as by the grace of God, you embrace that, you'll grow up into him in all things. You'll live all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. You're already blessed with them. But the choice is are you going to live them? By the grace of God, are you going to embrace them and allow them to build and to produce that fruit in your life? Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that, again, His people are truly increasing at an increasing rate. You're a wonderful testimony to me. I can see the Word of God building in you. So, He didn't deliver Lot. He delivered just Lot. He delivered the new man Lot. Isn't that wonderful? And why was Lot just, brothers and sisters? Because the blood of the Lamb. Because of the blood of the Lamb. Because no man can pluck them out of my hand. The incorruptible seed that was in Lot. Even though he was living in the kennels of hell itself. Even though he was vexed. Even though he was afflicted with the filthy lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah, brothers and sisters. He was still righteous because of Jesus. Amen. And if you're living a wondrous, glorious life, it's because of Jesus. And it's because of His wondrous grace. Praise the Lord. We're His children because of grace. But notice here, I just so thank God how He brings this out. Lot did it daily. He didn't just vex it once. He was vexing it daily. He had no thought of leaving here. I don't think he would have ever gone out of here. He was satisfied to stay in that hellhole. But God, in His faithfulness, brothers and sisters, brought him out. You ever been there? Oh, you better say amen. You don't know. Let me tell you something. Been there many times. Stubborn, unwilling, but God in His love brought me out. And hallelujah that God does that for His children. May this teach us, brothers and sisters, never to give up hope. Never to give up hope in God and His faithfulness. And especially for our loved ones. Appreciated Sister Linda getting up and just testifying of the faithfulness of God for her nieces there. I'm just so thankful. Let me tell you, you don't know. It's the despised. It's the lowly. It's the ones that He came to save the lost. You better recognize that you're lost. We all are, but that's the first wonderful step in the right direction. Know how lost you are. Know how much we need the Lord. And you know, that's a daily thing for me. I was sharing with a sister. I felt off all yesterday. Had one tremendous blessing over there at your wonderful home with your sweet daddy and prayer with the family. But man, I was feeling off. Didn't sleep a wink last night. Don't know what was really going on. I just left it to the Lord. And thank God that, you know, He renews your strength. And matter of fact, I feel better than I felt in a long time. Now, I'm not advocating staying up all night. But, you know, I'm just going with God these days. And really, where He leads, I hope to follow by His grace. And so He followed me, or I followed Him, I should say, right down to the study in my home last night. And I just sat there and prayed and read the Bible and different things. But, you know, we learn not to go by feeling. We go by faith. And the devil wants us to get into that feeling, how you're feeling. You know, did you have a good conversation with these people? Or did you hit it off well over here? Or how did this affect this? Or, you know, we got to quit thinking like that. Do I believe that my steps are ordered of the Lord? And steps means every, by the grace of God, action. I believe that by His grace, we're operating, brothers and sisters. We're being invited to operate in the very complete and full and perfect will of God. Now, are we going to trust that? That might be sometimes we go into the lion's den. It might mean sometimes that we go into a fiery furnace. It might be that when we're thinking that we're doing something well for people and we're picking up sticks to build fires and a snake lodges onto my thumb and everybody's thinking, oh, what did you do, you wicked man? Amen. God help us. And that is it. That we understand and have confidence as we have been taught. Oh, hallelujah, how we have been taught to put our confidence in God. Not in how well I talked to somebody or how well I performed at my job today or how well anything. Just it is well. How's that? And praise God that I believe He's getting us there. But, you know, Lord help our unbelief. And brothers and sisters, I'm right there in the front of the line. Okay, so never give up hope in God. We're not hoping in somebody. I'm not putting my confidence in any man. My confidence is forever in Him and in His faithfulness. And the prayer of the righteous availeth much, the Word of God tells us. And Abraham's prayers for Lot availed. And please notice, I think this is wonderful, that just for a few, God will take out a city. He loves His people. Get out of your stinking goodness and self-righteousness and realize that this is God and He always does that which is right, that He always operates in absolute love, even if He takes out all the lives in two cities for just a few of His children. Do you believe that you're the apple of His eye or not? This makes me feel special. I'm thankful to God that He loves me so. You don't realize what you're messing with when you're touching God's people. You don't. And I hope you know that. I hope you know the hedge that He has about your life and that He does keep you. Now, He delivers the godly. And Lot is godly. And I'm going to keep stressing that Lot is godly because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He is as holy, not was, He is as holy and as righteous as Abraham. He is a child of King, assured of heaven just as much as Abraham. But brothers and sisters, help to recognize this. He entered into the gates just as much as Abraham, but He entered there an infant of infants. Whereas Abraham, I do believe, entered in as one of the 24 elders. What do you think of that? Amen. Amen. That's right. See, we're talking full reward. We're talking full overcomer. And Brother Abraham was a full overcomer in the Old Testament. We know that. But thanks be to God that Lot is still just. He's still righteous. He's still holy because God came into his life by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So He will never leave nor forsake. It's His everlasting faithfulness to His children. But as we see there, the unjust, let me tell you something, they're going to meet their day, and that day of death will never end. I think I mentioned this last week. I've had some tell me recently. Again, it's amazing how often people start bringing up the things of God. I don't even have to bring them up. It's just the conviction of the Lord and the things that God is doing. And they'll joke around and say, oh, I've got my front seat, you know, right there in the front row of hell. And I just think, you don't even know what you're saying. And they say, oh, I'm going to be content and I'll be fine down there. And they're kind of joking. And I said, well, you know what? I don't know. Maybe you will be fine in hell. But let me tell you something. You will not be fine when you hit that lake of fire. And you won't be fine in hell either. But I'll tell you what, that lake of fire that's prepared for them that have rejected His Son, I can't imagine that any of us would want to see anyone go there. Eternal darkness, eternal isolation from Jesus Christ, from that glory, brothers and sisters. I don't care how wicked a person's been. I would not want to watch that. And I hope that God in His love would get into our lives and be encouraged that we would give out that message. Now let's go on to verse 10. Verse 10 there, it says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous, that means shameless, are they. Self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Well, here are the fourth and the fifth traits of the false teachers. The fourth one is despising government and authority. And the fifth one is self-willed or man-pleasing or men-pleasers. This reveals their overwhelming selfishness, brothers and sisters. Complete defiance, first of all, of God. And then defiance even of man's authority. Only their own desires count. And I really have to say, is not this the epitome of the day and in the age we live? Oh yeah, I'll just give you a great example today. I don't really care, I don't, where you stand, whether we should be in this Iraq or out of this Iraq or how you feel about the war. And I pray that you just give that to God anyways and you just trust Him for it. But the thing that I was watching a little bit of is the disrespect that we have to those in authority. The disrespect that they had to that general as they had him up there and they were questioning him like he was some just nobody. That's a person in authority. That is a person that has the lives of men in command under him. And let me tell you something. This is exactly what this is talking of, brothers and sisters. The call of this world right now is to act up, isn't it? It's to act out. It's to question authority. That's what we hear. Do what feels right to you. Whether you're young and old, it's a path of great destruction to be led that way. And it really is. See, I don't care if we agree with those in authority or not. The Word of God tells us to trust the Lord, to pray for them, and to give them respect of the place that God has given them as unto the Lord. Did you hear that?
Amen, brother.
I hope that we do not go the way of the world, because it's coming at us in great waves, brothers and sisters. And this is a departure. This is an attitude. This is a state of heart that will be a departure from the things of God. This is what God has ordained for our lives. This is God's word that He wants to have working effectually in our life. That we are to submit to God's plan. We are to submit to God's choice. Now, you can have your political affiliations. And you can tell me, well, that wasn't my choice. Well, the Word of God says that He puts up whom He will and down whom He will. You know the Word of God says that? Well, then that means to me that that was God's choice. And then He told me to pray for them. To pray for them. Do you ever pray for people that you know that are downright wicked, that come up on that TV screen or in that paper? I hope you do. I hope God encourages you to pray for them. Some of these actors and actresses that have been lifted up, that are spewing forth just horrible atrocities, apostasy, if you want to go that far. But I hope there would be a tenderness. You know, God could change that life. Do you know that? Do you know what a testimony that may be to some for God to change that life? Those aren't just blind hope. Let me tell you something. Just Lot. He gives me hope. Okay? So let's get into God's heart and let's quit looking in our own eyes. And may we not forget, brothers and sisters, and I think this is such a great example that the Word of God gave to us. We spoke about it not too many weeks back. But Samuel and his sons. Do you remember that story? How they took the bribes. This was Samuel. Think of what a great prophet this was. But his sons, they took the bribes. They perverted the office. They perverted the judgment of the things of God. But yet, you know what? This was God's choice. God had allowed them to be there. Even the elders of the people turned from this. The elders, the ones that were supposed to know something. They said, we're not going to have this. This is perverse. This is wrong. They're leading in the wrong way. But what did God say to Samuel as Samuel felt so bad before the Lord? They didn't reject you, Samuel. They've rejected me. And they called for a king. They called for something different. They called in something that they thought in their own goodness would right the wrong that they were perceiving. And they weren't trusting God, that God had allowed those sons to be in that place at that time. And I'll guarantee you for one thing, for them to get a victory. For them to have their faith increased that, you know what, Lord, even though we don't have the greatest of leader, we're trusting you. God will provide. What do you think of that? I'm telling you, that's hard. I'm not going to say that's an easy thing. It's difficult to see that go on. But may we just stay in the Word of God and we'll avoid a lot of heartache for not accepting God's plan. Now, I have a note here and I believe the Lord wanted me to talk about this. God's anointed. Now, I'm so thankful that for so much of my life, and really all of my life, I got to be around a lot of anointing. Praise the Lord. And I saw a brother that was our pastor for so many years that was the anointed to bring forth the Word of God. And how wonderful to watch that life. And how, yes, a man in every respect, but an anointed man of God. And I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, I saw different ones over the years that did not have respect for that anointing. And I did. And they didn't realize they weren't defying Brother Hill. They weren't defying Brother Hill. They were defying God. Because that was God's choice. That was God's man. And God, let me tell you something. You better get in line with what he wants and what his plan is. And I will tell you, and you can take this for what it's worth. I saw two, and again, I was only there for maybe half of his life, not even that because he lived so long. But I saw a couple that defied him so adamantly to his face. One brother right back there in that pew, and I remember that night. And both of those men that I saw, both of them took their own life. Now, you can take that for what you want. But let me tell you something. Don't go up against God's plan. Don't. You don't realize where you're treading. You don't realize what you're coming up against. It's hard to watch. But this is the Lord's. It's the Lord's, brothers and sisters. And man we're in a day that man is openly defying God, openly defying his word, and openly defying his ordinances. And I'm telling you, it's waxing worse. All right, let's go on to verse 11. I got to ask if you're still with me now. Okay? We're going to have to do that again, so be prepared. All right. If the Lord tarry, okay. This is, you know, you thought you got through Corinthians. I was thinking, oh man, that's correction. Let me tell you, you never seen 1st and 2nd Peter yet, had you? It's here. It's about us. And we need to understand this. And, you know, we can think that sometimes, and I appreciate this. I sat out there many a time thinking, well, that pastor, he's just speaking about me. This is just at me or something like that. Well, I hope to God it is. I hope it's something that we all can receive, brothers and sisters, because we should be receiving this. If you think that you've gone beyond this, you better get on your knees and say, Lord, help me to be excited about the word and help me to have a clearer vision. Hallelujah. And to see that wonderful, those things afar off. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on to verse 11. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Now, this is precious here. This is wonderful encouragement that I was bringing up. This is wonderful testimony, and may we take it even from the angels. Apply it to our life. These angels bring their grievances of man, their grievances of sinful ones, their grievances of wrongs against them, or the wrongs that they're observing, you know where they bring them? They bring them to the Lord. They don't go gossip of the faults of man and bring rage against them and hatreds against them that sin. But they instead, with compassion, take it to the Lord. May we do that. May we learn to take it to the Lord in prayer. That we take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Now, there'll be times to have counsel. I understand that. But God forbid we would be spreading things throughout the meeting and trying to just get things stirred up. I'm not considering that in a sense discord. I'm just saying there's a more perfect way. How's that? And the more perfect way is, you know what, let's take it to the Lord. And there is there's a counselor there that's the counselor of counselors. He'll be able to lead you and give you that such peace in it. And that's maturity, brothers and sisters. That's when we know we're growing up, is when we go to him. All right, verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. Isn't that something? They were made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, this is number 6, evil speakers. And you notice here that it's in their own ignorance. But let me tell you something. Ignorance is no excuse. And why? Because we're without excuse. There's such a great cloud of witness, and especially as Christians and going after the deep things of God, there is nothing to blame. There is no one to blame if we're being defeated and not moving on except ourselves. And you know that, and I know that very well too. I try to point the finger all around, and it comes right back here, And it's right here. I'm letting that crown go. There wasn't anybody that pried it out of my fingers. I just wasn't trusting, Lord, you and your wonderful love for me. Praise God. All right. But what's also so precious here, brothers and sisters, is these beasts are made to be taken and destroyed. I think that's awesome. See, if you don't think that God knew everything in ages past, I really can't help you. Proverbs 16:4, ring a bell. We've been bringing that out many times. He created the wicked for the day of evil. He did. Created the wicked for the day of evil. Just as he foreknew those that would believe. Just as he foreknew in ages past that we would believe him. And he foreordained those good works that we should walk in them. He also foreknew the wicked rejectors. He did. He knew. He knows everything. And he knew that they would reject him. And they're going to be destroyed. And they're going to utterly perish in a continuing death in a lake of fire. But notice it's because of their own corruption. It was because of their own choice. He didn't just predestinate them to go to the lake of fire. It's whom he foreknew. He knew. He wanted all men to be saved. He didn't want one to perish. That wonderful Jesus came upon that cross and died upon that cross for all men. God so loved the world. He didn't exclude a one. But there's a choice to be made. And is the choice going to be, Lord Jesus, you're my Savior? All right. And so simple it is. Praise God, the simplicity that's in that wonderful Son. The faith the size of a mustard seed. Isn't that precious? All right. Verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Look at that. See, they're feasting there. And sometimes they're among us. We don't know, but we do need to be aware. And God help us with our fellowship. All right, but this is something here. Our reward has everything to do with righteousness, doesn't it? And it's the righteousness of God. It was just a gift. And it's there for us. And you look at this, their reward has everything to do with their unrighteousness. They're going to be rewarded for their unrighteousness. It's going to happen. It's right there. You're either righteous or you're not, aren't you? You're either saved or you're not. And I can't stand the way that they've twisted the Word of God. And that's why we need to be aware of the things that they've done even with the Word of God. In some of the translations in that New International Version, it said that we're being saved. You're not being saved. You're either saved or you're not. You've either accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior or you haven't. You're either alive or you're dead. That's it. That's it. There's no in the midst of or in the process of or no. You've either accepted or you've rejected. That's it. So God help us with that. But these teachers here, you can see, they're unsaved. They're not righteous. We understand that if you're a child of God, you're righteous. You are. You're righteous. You're holy. You couldn't be any more righteous and holy. It's like a baby. That baby is a human being. It's not an adult. It's not matured. But it will never be any more human than when that baby is born. It is a human being. Amen. Right? The same with a child of God. It received the incorruptible seed. It can never be corrupted. That's the definition of incorruptible. Huh? Right. No man can pluck them out of my hand. And then if you don't believe that, my hand's in my Father's hand. And no one's greater than... Come on. I mean, just how many times over and over... And I'm thankful he does because we need it because we're so fragile and so full of unbelief, but for God... That we need that encouragement. But that's the Lord that we know. And you see that they're unsaved, they're unrighteous, they're blemished, they're unclean. And they're completely opposite from his sheep. That's why he calls them beasts. And we're bringing this out because we're going to get to verse 20 if the Lord tarry. Honestly, we'll get there someday. But we'll get there to verse 20 and you're going to see how people try to twist and move these scriptures, and they're not rightfully dividing the word of God, and they're trying to say that you can come to being saved and then unsaved or something of that nature. And we understand that at that time they're talking about knowledge versus believing. You can know a lot of things. You can know of Jesus being here. You can know of the Lord dying upon that cross. But if you don't believe Him as your personal Savior, you've missed it. You've missed it. We must believe. Believe. Whosoever believeth in me. There's a big difference. And I'm starting to have that revealed more and more in my life as the Lord has people come my way that He wants to deal with. Praise the Lord. All right, verse 14. Let's keep going. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Woo! Beguiling unstable souls. See, look at that. See, they have eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. And they beguile unstable souls, an heart that they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. All right. See, they can't cease from sin because they're still dead in it. See, isn't that something I was thinking about? That you're either dead in sin or you're dead to sin. It really is. And these are dead in sin. They can't cease from it. They can't help it. It's because they're apart from God. The absence of God is the presence of sin. That's what it is, and that's what they're living in. But I really want us to pay attention to this next part, this beguiling unstable souls. And this is very important. These are unstable souls. So it's speaking of here is that they have no standing, that they're vacillating. We're going to read about this later on in 2 Peter 3, 16 and 17. We'll just jump over there real quick. It's always good to read that. Now, this is speaking of Brother Paul and his epistles. And Brother Peter says, as also in all Paul's epistles, in the 16th verse, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood. But he didn't just stop there and say, well, they're just hard to be understood, so I guess I'm not going to go there. No, he didn't say that. There's a reason that they're hard to be understood. To what? To those, or they, that are unlearned and unstable. Okay, speaking there of no standing, vacillating, going back and forth, that rest as they do also with the scriptures unto their own destruction. Okay, so this is a big one here when we talk about those that fall from their own steadfastness. But you know, the Lord led a little bit deeper here, and you know, oftentimes He does have me go in there and start studying these words. But this word unstable is a negative word. It's a negative. It's the opposite of strength. It's the opposite of standing fixed or standing fast. It's the opposite of a pillar in the house of the Lord. Huh? It's the opposite of stand, withstand, having done all, stand. That's what it's the opposite of. But it's negative. And the Lord was encouraging my heart. God help us to not be negative people. Really. Shame on us for being negative. A negative Christian, as we're seeing here, can be led away very quickly. Stay with me. We had a split in this meeting so many years ago. And it did break my heart. I remember being in my little house on Fillmore. And it was the longest I think I ever cried. And I'm just telling you the truth. I know it was. All night long. It just hurt. And some that went through that time took it in a negative way. Now, I know you're looking at me and say, well, how could you take that in a positive way? Well, you know how we take things in a positive way? We turn our eyes upon Jesus. You turn your eyes upon Jesus. And if God be for me, who could be against me? And I know God is faithful to His people. Now, the Lord had to come into my life and encourage me that way because it was a very difficult time. And there have been very difficult times, and I've had them lately in different things. But I don't want to have a negative spirit. But what happened there is that some took it in a negative way. I know by the grace of God, because I'm in contact with some that are still struggling today that took that in a negative way. And some of my dear brothers and sisters that I haven't seen, that I know of, that I run into sometime here and there, that took it in a negative way, have completely departed from the truth. And I'm talking about brothers and sisters who were on fire for the things of God. And that's the truth, brothers and sisters. Taking it in a negative way and maybe even giving up a life, any life of faith. Some have even departed and turned unto fables. And you know them. And you know them. Now, I had a brother that asked me earlier today, how could we turn from such a wonderful truth? There it is. It's His Word. And His Word is true, brothers and sisters. And this is what happens. And you and I are not immune from this. I hope we know this. Don't think you're immune from anything. Huh? Oh, I hope you know, but for the grace of God, there go I. You are capable of committing any sin. Any sin, but for God. So in that, I just say, I pray not to be a negative Christian. All right? Still with me? Amen. Okay, we'll go on then. All right, let's get into 15 and 16. Which have forsaken the right way. See, there is a right way. I just say, I hear a talk show host. I'll let you go find out who they might be. Oh, there's many ways. I got enlightened. Oh, I used to go this way. But I found out that, and I heard her say, and see, I knew all this, but I don't bring it out. I'll let you go find it. God will reveal it to you. And that's why I say, don't put these people as idols in your life. You don't understand what they'll do. I hope at one time they gave their heart to the Lord. I don't know. But come to an awakening, brothers and sisters, that we need to be about the things of God. You cannot know the Word of God well enough. I was in my office and thinking, you know, Lord, what a blessing. For the last 3 years, truly, all you've had me do is to read and pray. That's it. Now, I'm not going to say that's always easy. Absolutely not. And I'll tell you, there'll always be a pulling as long as I'm in this body to try to defeat my life from that. But you need it too. I'm thankful to God that it wasn't just the last 3 years of my life that He had me doing that, but it's just been intense. It's an intense Lord. I'm thankful. And I'm thankful, as this person was saying, yeah, well, when I heard He was a jealous God, that's not the God I wanted. Let me tell you something. When I hear He's a jealous God, I really get kind of feeling special. I don't know about you. He's coming after me. He doesn't want me to be wooed by anybody but Him. He wants me to hear His voice. He wants me to live for Him. That's the God I want. Absolutely. The God that'll take out a city just for little old me. Oh yeah. Stop the mouths of lions. Allow me to just walk right through that fiery furnace and watch those guards just fry right there opening it up. And I'm in there with brothers of like precious faith and sisters. Hallelujah. And we're rejoicing with one that looked like the Son of Man. Isn't that wonderful? See, walk with you every day. I know He does. You just got to realize it. Just look out there. Just stand back and say, oh, I'm walking with the Son of Man. Hallelujah, He's there. Praise God. All right. So, we see there in verse 15, let's get in there to verse 15 and 16. All right. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And I hear the chuckles, because that is, you talk about God and his funny stories. That is just one of the best ones. I mean, you don't have to listen to Gus or, you know, Ed the Talking Mule. You know, we had that long time back. See, that's where they get a lot of that good stuff that's on TV. They just go right to the Word of God there and pull it out. All right. But this is just continuing proof, brothers and sisters, that these teachers here are not saved. You know, you look at there, he called them cursed children back there in the 14th verse. We're his children. We're not cursed children. We're blessed children. We're blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That's why I say line upon line, precept upon precept. This is important. It really is that we understand how God, His word is tried, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And it's pure and it's right and it's the truth. And God cannot lie. But they have forsaken the right way. And we know that, and I appreciated this sweet lady that was trying to tell that one famous person about what about when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And hallelujah, you'll never refute that. You think you can, but that's how they get so boisterous. That's how they get so presumptuous. See, they're just shameless. You're shameless. When you challenge God like that, you don't even know what you're doing. And I do feel sorry for you. That's my love you're talking about there. So I do get a little bit angry and thinking, you know, could be a real payday coming there. But, you know, you still pray for him. He still died for them. That's still a soul. And you do want God to come in. And what a wonderful change that would be. What a magnificent blessing and a testimony that could be. But this is referring, brothers and sisters, to the story of Balaam. And you'll find that in Numbers chapters 22 through 24. Wonderful, wonderful story. Great for you to go back and read. But this was Balaam who sold his prophetic power to King Balak. He cursed the people of God for silver and gold. Destruction was wrought all over the place after this. And you think of what destruction. Look at a whole false doctrine came out of this, didn't it? Huh? Yeah, it did. Yep, sure. Following the way of Balaam. And if you remember back in our Revelation study, chapter 2, verse 14, there was the church of Pergamos. They held dear to this doctrine. They held it, okay? Now let's, I just want to give you some of the signs of the teachings of this doctrine. And let's think about, is this here today? All right? Prosper and be in health. What do you think? Okay? All right, I can't go past a channel after my 300 series in the thing hearing about prosper and be in health. Poor people. All right. Popularity, demos, lovers of the world, good God, good devil, good everybody. You thinking that's going on today? Sure it is. How about standing for nothing? Huh? Falling for everything, obviously, but not separating to the things of God. The preaching of apostasy was another one. The promoting of fornication, idol worship, that there's many paths. We're in the day of many forms of godliness, but they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And that's obviously our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is here. And, you know, there have been so many sweet loved ones. I do hurt when God takes some of them home. I do. But I am thankful and rejoice with them that precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints, but I know that it's soon, though, brothers and sisters. He's wrapping it up. He really is, and I'm excited. I know it's not going to be long. I'm confident in the spirit language that the Lord had given sweet Brother Geese and myself yesterday, in that I know in my heart, over and over, it won't be long. We're going to be on that shore. Hallelujah. It won't be long. All those sweet brothers and sisters that have gone on before. Hallelujah. All right. But this is a wonderful thing. Let's go ahead and get verse 17 and then maybe we'll wrap it up with that. These are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. So, you talk about vanity of vanities, brothers and sisters. You talk about empty promises. These are lives that are based on feeling. And lives that are based on feeling are going to be led to nowhere but death. Wells without water. Clouds without rain. These are counterfeit mirages. That's what they are. It's a mirage. And we had better settle down with the truth, brothers and sisters, or we'll be led about with lies. And that's it. God doesn't want us to go that way. He doesn't. He wants us to settle down in the Scriptures. And brothers and sisters, it might be a time and a great long time of being still and knowing that He is God. It might be a great long time of perfect testing. That you're going to be on the backside of that desert. You think you are ready to go in there and lead the people out. And God has you tending a bunch of goats. I don't know. I really don't. But I do know one thing. You better wait upon Him. And as sweet brother Hawkins came up and gave that sweet message, the last one we heard of him, where he was saying about that perfect testing. It's not 1 minute less. It's not 1 minute more. It's got to be cooked just right. Praise God. He's got a season for everything. And we're in season. I love it. We're in season to win God's best. And that's the season we're in that's going on right now. But then there's seasons within the season, aren't there? That's right. There's a time for all of these things going on. And let God allow us to accept, to take it from Him, to be content in whatsoever state we're in. Brothers and sisters, these are great, wonderful things that God wants us to have. And sometime we have to be put in places where we're very still, where we don't think anything's going on, where we think that, you know, we're not maybe being a blessing to anyone, that we don't really feel, huh? I don't feel the Spirit going on. And you know what? I know this, though. It's there. It's ever present. Hallelujah. And one day and in one moment, He's going to say, okay, arise. I got some food now. Here we go. And we're going on again. Hallelujah. And let's not forget that, brothers and sisters, that this is God and His plan. It's all over this Word of God. Get into it and you can find that state that you're in to be encouraged in another brother and sister's life. I'll guarantee you it's right there. All right. So, last notice again, these teachers... I love it. How many times does he have to say the day of judgment to be punished? Don't be afraid. They speak evil. It's coming to them. And here he goes and says that they've got a reservation of darkness. Isn't that something? Ooh, I just can't stand that. It's awful. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. That's the reservation. Now, I've got a reservation for a mansion up there. Isn't that something? I've got a reservation for a day that's never going to end. Isn't that wonderful? There's no night where I'm going. And He's the light. Praise God. But they are reserved for darkness. Mm-hmm. God's not going to be mocked. He just isn't. And I'm so thankful. And there needs and has to be that day of it's going to be just. Let me tell you, it is. Don't doubt the Word of God, brothers and sisters. Thanks. Know it. Thanks. As Brother Hill encouraged us so many times, payday is someday. Our payday is in the vision that we have where we can see the things that are afar off. Let's not get caught up into this. See, God knows He has every step. He has our very last breath. As I saw my dear brother drawing those breaths, he was working mightily to grasp every single one. But as he was there with each one, I know that each one was God allowed. Whether it was easy, whether it was hard, and I know that God had them all counted, every heartbeat there counted, everything. He's got everything. And I'm so thankful that He is a God of such meticulous detail. Don't think He's not into the detail. Let me tell you something. When they're cutting those diamonds, especially the most priceless ones, you talk about the detail. I've been studying up on those for Sunday a little bit. We've got something coming, if the Lord tarry. But that could never be compared to the jewels that are going to be set into that city. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Brother Mark Bishop, please.
Praise you, God. Praise you.